You're listening to The Impromptu on the Hologram Radio Network, a multifaceted show discussing how technology, art, design, and equality converge on topics that matter most to us. From gaming culture to film and other forms of media, we examine the creative process and how the decisions we make shape our perceptions and lives. I'm Alex Knight, and I'm joined by Michael Norton, Chief Creative Officer. How are you this fine Friday afternoon?
Just getting over a cold, but otherwise fine.
What do we have going on this week?
Well, they just announced that The Punisher is getting his own show, so that's pretty exciting.
And I imagine within the same Marvel universe, we'll be getting some kind of crossover with the other shows. It seems like that's the idea.
I would think so. My guess would be that the Punisher series is going to lead directly into the Defenders or Daredevil season 3. But in terms of which series is going to be next, Luke Cage premieres later this year. Then next year, it's probably going to be after The Defenders because they've said that Luke Cage is next. Then they're already filming The Defenders. And that'll be with all of them together. So Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, possibly Iron Fist. And then after The Defenders, they're going to have the actual Iron Fist series. And then presumably The Punisher and season 3 of Daredevil. And hopefully season 2 of Jessica Jones.
Yeah, Jessica Jones is one of my favorite shows right now. And, you know, it's so hard. I don't even want to pick between Jessica Jones and Daredevil because Daredevil season 2 was so incredible as well. And they're very different shows. I would actually have to say, as much as I loved season 1 of Daredevil, I think I preferred the first season of Jessica Jones overall for what it was able to accomplish. But
yeah,
season 2 of Daredevil just upped the game so much.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely did. And the Punisher's popularity in season 2 is probably what led to them deciding to create a separate series for him. Because he just stole every scene he was in.
Yeah, he was incredible. I mean,
yeah.
I'm so desensitized to violence, but I have to say, out of all the violent movies I've ever seen, the violence is so well done and so realistic in this show that I was actually really disturbed. And not to give any spoilers, but there is a particular scene that takes place in the prison. I think you know what I'm talking about. The fight scene in the prison is so brutal. And so intense, and it's so realistic. And after I finished the series, I just had this kind of just unease and sense of dread. It was just, I had to think about it for a while because it was so incredibly visceral.
Yeah.
And I guess that means they did their job. But yeah. I mean, that is the character. The Punisher is a very violent character. And you're not necessarily supposed to sympathize with Frank.
Yeah. And I think one of the reasons that Daredevil is so intense is because the fight choreography, I think a lot of the team is from China. And they normally do a lot of Eastern action films. And the big difference between Eastern action films and Western action films is that in Eastern action films, the violence is always related to the story and the characters. And it's always shot very viscerally to make every punch, every block, every step of the fight that much more intense. And they don't cut away from hits. They show the hits. They don't want to trick the audience by cutting away or switching to a wide angle shot, so it's easier to fake hitting someone. They have a very tight angle, and that's exactly what's done in Daredevil. We have these very close-up, intimate shots of the fighting, and it just flows from one move to the next, particularly in the one-take staircase fight. You don't normally see a lot of that in Western action films. So they definitely had a much more Eastern sensibility to the fight choreography, and it pays off in spades.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you're right. It's something that I didn't really think about actively while watching it, but you're right. There are a lot of close-up shots, and they didn't cheat by doing those shots where they kind of pull away and they don't really show close up what's actually happening. But I'm actually very interested in knowing what kind of fighting style, if they had one fighting style or if they had a mix of different. It might have been a mix of different. And if my memory serves me correctly, Daredevil's fighting style seems a little bit different than Frank's, because Frank has the military training background and Daredevil has the boxing and martial arts background. So they're going to have different styles. And Frank's, I think that this is actually just is great for the realism aspect, but because Frank is not trained in martial arts, because he has that kind of military close quarters combat training, it's less, it has less finesse, but it's still very, very accurate and very capable. And it works for the brutality aspect. It's so, it does seem like somebody who had military training.
Yeah, his fighting style is unrefined brute force, essentially.
It's more like, it's this seems like it's diminishing it, but it seems more like street fighting, but it's, there's more technique involved. Like it's brutal, but but there's technique in there.
Yeah, there is technique there, but it's a much more just focus intensely on taking out your opponent as quickly and efficiently as possible. Like no fancy moves, no blocking, just utterly destroying them as fast as
you can. The blunt force trauma sort of aspect of it. Make every punch count.
Yeah, and exactly.
If you can do it in a couple of really fast punches, you know, then that's what you do.
Yeah. Like whereas Daredevil might like jump around and try and knock you down, the Punisher will come at you like a brick wall.
Yeah. And I like how he uses whatever he has available to him.
Yeah.
He'll just pick up whatever he has. Like, you know, if he doesn't have a gun, he'll use a pipe or he'll use something else, you know, which is great.
Yeah.
So anyway, so this Punisher series is happening. It's a Netflix original series. And did they mention when this series is coming out?
Yeah, they haven't. My guess is next year.
Okay.
So
Luke Cage is when? Next year?
September,
as I said, right?
It's at the end of this year, and then the Defenders will be early next year.
Yeah, what is the Defenders? Because I don't remember what that's
about. So the Defenders
about.
Is all of them together. They decide to form, in the comics anyway, they decide to form a team that kind of protects the downtrodden citizens of New York.
But New York already has the Avengers.
Right. So the Avengers are for like Hydra or
The big
Thanos,
the big picture
or
stuff.
Whatever. And the Defenders are for Kingpin or some street level thug. Like they're the ones that show up. If
Hell's
you're being
Kitchen.
Threatened by a drug dealer with a knife or something, like the Avengers don't bother with that shit.
Right.
They're too busy saving the entire planet to care if somebody's getting robbed, but Daredevil will show up.
Yeah.
Jessica Jones will show up.
I like how they made mention to the Avenger movies and to those events and even Age of Ultron too.
Yeah.
With the city falling out of the sky and they're like, yeah, they kind of botched that.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, one criticism I would say I have so far is that the movies haven't bothered to mention the shows yet. And that's becoming increasingly more apparent with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is taking on world-level threats. Like a bunch of Terrigen crystals just got dropped in the ocean, creating a whole surge of Inhumans with powers. And no mention of that apparently is going to be made in Civil War. So you've got this entire crazy event happening with people suddenly getting superpowers, and nobody says a thing about it in Civil War.
Okay, that's like, really strange. Civil War isn't out yet, so we don't really know.
We don't know, for but, sure. Based on people that have seen it, like I haven't heard anyone say that there's mention in there. So that kind of worries me. Like, they're perfectly willing to mention the movies in the shows, but if the movies aren't mentioning the shows, then it creates this kind of weird disconnect where crazy things are happening in the shows, but it's like they don't exist in the movies at all, which kind of becomes problematic because if you start to blend them, like if in Infinity War, you have Luke Cage show up or Daredevil show up or Jessica Jones show up, it's like, well, they're clearly in the same universe, so why are events in the shows not having an impact on the movies?
Well, the only thing that I can think of is maybe Tony Stark could make some snarky comment. Like, yeah, you're kind of, you know, you're in that shitty part of town in Hell's Kitchen that nobody really cares about. Yeah, we're the big boys. We kind of take care of the, you know, I could totally see him making that kind of comment.
For that, yeah. For that, you can totally do that with a throwaway line. But the big thing is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like,
I haven't seen the series.
They are dealing with global threats. And those threats couldn't possibly be invisible to a force like the Avengers.
And Agent Coulson, I'm trying to think, when was the last time we saw him in one of the movies?
Was it killed by Loki? No, the Avengers. It was the Avengers.
Okay,
he got
been
killed
a while.
By Loki.
Right, so I wonder if even he will make an appearance in a future movie.
Well, that's the thing. It's like there's kind of this wall between the movies and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., even though it's so intrinsically tied to the movies. Like, they even had a tie-in for Winter Soldier last season, or season one. Actually, midway through season one, it was revealed that Hydra was part of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then they had the whole thing. And we saw footage from Winter Soldier, like, oh, the headquarters is all blown apart. And then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of dealt with the aftermath of that. Like, they went on to become this sort of shadow organization that was hunting down and fighting Hydra. But again, none of that made its way to the movies. And in Age of Ultron, the helicarrier that magically appeared to save the citizens of Sokovia, that was actually a reference to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That was, like, Coulson actually was hiding a helicarrier secretly just in case it needed to be used. In season two or three, there kept being mention of a secret project, and then it was revealed that it was the helicarrier. They're kind of cross-pollinating a bit, but then in the latest season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you have this big world-changing event that's causing government reaction. Like, we literally saw in the latest season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the crystals fall into the ocean, people start getting superpowers. The U.S. government actually creates a branch to investigate and defend America against this new threat, the ATCU. So they actually form a governmental agency to combat this threat. In fact, in the latest season, there are meetings of world leaders and a number of other things. And then in Civil War, you have world leaders meeting to discuss this Sokovia Accord, which puts superheroes under UN jurisdiction. So to not mention something that's going on the show when we clearly see that world governments are involved in it, it's like a weird, like, amnesia effect. It's like, this whole thing just happened on the show and you're pretending it never happened in the movie. So that really worries me, because if you're going to have this shared universe, then events in both mediums need to affect each other. Otherwise, there's really no point to having a shared universe. Because if it's all one way from the movies to the TV shows, then you're not really getting this sense of a larger world.
Yeah, I agree. And again, we don't know because Winter Soldier hasn't been released yet. So hopefully Civil War, of course. We haven't found out because the movie hasn't been released yet. And when is that movie coming out?
Friday.
Okay, so it's this week. So we'll know pretty soon. But I absolutely agree with you. I think those are all valid complaints that the movies, and if they don't do this now, they need to start doing this in future movies. They do need to start mentioning stuff that's actually happening in those TV series. In addition to, of course, it would be nice to have some appearances from those characters that are on those series, like bring Luke Cage on, bring Jessica Jones on, bring Daredevil and Punisher and all those people that are supposed to be showing up.
Yeah, exactly. And this is going to kind of come to a head with the upcoming Inhumans movie. There's supposed to be an entire movie about the Inhumans, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has introduced the entire concept of Inhumans in season 2 and 3. So that especially will be a crucial test, because if we've got an entire show that has introduced this concept, and then you have a movie about that concept, and it makes no mention of the show whatsoever, it's going to be a little weird.
Have we talked about the Inhumans before? Because I don't even remember what that is about.
Okay, so if you haven't been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
I have not.
Okay, so Inhumans are basically humans who have an additional genetic marker, which is a holdover from genetic experiments that were carried out on humans by the Kree thousands of years ago, attempting to create a super soldier. So they genetically experimented on humans and gave them superpowers using a Terrigen crystal as the activator. So they would expose a human to the crystal. The crystal would dissolve into Terrigen mist, which would activate their genetic mutations and give them an ability.
Is this like a latent mutant gene or something?
Essentially, but
didn't they establish that all people have this kind of latent gene that just could be reactivated?
So that's X-Men, but Marvel doesn't have the rights to X-Men for movies. They only have the rights to Inhumans. So the way they've gotten around mutants is they're using Inhumans in place of mutants. For example...
Oh, you mean like they're actually flat out not even using the word mutants?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, mutants don't exist in the cinematic universe, basically. The only thing that exists is Inhumans. Or people that have been experimented on and given powers. So, for example, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver in Age of Ultron, traditionally in the comics, they're mutants. But in the cinematic universe continuity, because they're not allowed to use mutants, they were experimented on using the Infinity Stone in Loki's scepter, and that's how they got their powers.
That's really strange. I could have sworn that in the first X-Men movie, which was done by Fox, they mentioned mutants.
Yeah. That's my entire point. Fox owns the rights to X-Men. Therefore, okay, they own the rights to mutants.
Oh, okay. Now I get it. Okay.
So if the rights ever revert back to Marvel, then they can use mutants again. But because Fox keeps pushing out an X-Men movie every few years, they retain the movie rights. So Marvel decided to just sidestep the entire thing, mutants don't exist in the cinematic universe. There are people that get experimented on and get powers, and there are Inhumans, and that's it.
I think I get it.
Yeah. So, it kind of cleans up the universe a bit, because in the comics you have mutants and then you have Inhumans, which are kind of the same thing, except with them, it's that they have a gene that was added by alien experiments. Whereas mutants, it kind of showed up on its own somehow. So, like, reconciling those two things becomes kind of awkward. So, in a way, it's kind of a blessing in disguise, because it allows them to have a much more coherent explanation as to how people get powers. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of laid the groundwork for this, because at the end of season two, an entire cache of Terrigen crystals were dumped into the ocean. They dissolved, and fish basically got tainted with Terrigen, and then those fish were caught, processed into food products, like fish oil pills and such, and then people consume that, and if they have the Inhuman gene, they go through teragenesis and gain a power. So suddenly you've created this scenario where people with superpowers are constantly being activated at left, right, and center. Which is why it's kind of important that the movie bothers to mention it, because it's kind of a big deal. Especially yeah. since the focus of the movie is regulating people with superpowers. So if you're trying to regulate people with superpowers, it's kind of important to mention that there are people with superpowers being created at a ridiculous rate all of a sudden.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see. But that continues to be my main worry for the cinematic universe, that while the shows are allowed to mention the movies end up not mentioning the shows, and it just ends up being really disconnected. So hopefully things aren't as bad as they appear to be.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, this is just way off topic. Well, actually not totally way off topic, but this is related to Marvel stuff. Mm. Do you remember hearing a long, long time ago that various people made attempts to write a screenplay? They had or were in the process of making a screenplay for Namor. And there have been multiple attempts to make a Namor movie over the last like 15 years, but it's never... I remember even hearing in the 90s that Marvel was trying to make a Namor movie, but then it never happened. And that's kind of fizzled out. And I'm wondering if that would ever happen again. Because it doesn't seem like out of the realm of possibility that Marvel might want to try lesser known characters. Like, I mean, look at what's happening with Doctor Strange.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say he's a lesser known character. I'd say he's a less popular
character. Less popular, sure.
But he definitely plays a big role in the comic universe.
Right.
He's consistently part of several teams and he plays a very important role in the universe. He defends Earth against mystical threats and so on.
Is he even in the current comic continuity at all?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen him in a long time. The only image that I have in my mind is of him wearing a Speedo, and I don't know if they've ever changed his look at all.
Yeah, he's worn some different costumes throughout the years. As far as I know, he's part of the current continuity. I don't know if he's shown up lately, but...
Was he ever in the Avengers?
Yes. Yes, he has been.
Mm-hmm.
And he has also been in the Dark Avengers, or... I think that's what they're called. They're basically, at one point, they created an Avengers team that was full of magic using heroes. And I think he either ran it or was like one of the leaders of the team.
Dark Avengers. So were they evil?
No, no. Like,
was Scarlet Witch part of it?
I think she was actually. Yeah.
And I can't remember what her allegiance is, like where she lies on the spectrum.
She's usually a hero, but in the comics, she can be kind of temperamental. Like when she got really, really mad and accidentally made a bunch of people not mutants anymore.
How do you even do that?
Because she has reality altering powers, and she was so distraught, she whispered, "No more mutants," and then instantly, over 90% of all mutants were depowered.
You know, I read a really interesting article just basically completely destroying all of the different X-Men movie continuities that just do not make any sense. And there are two sides to this. So one, it's a completely valid argument. Basically, the I don't remember who it was, but the author was saying that, you know, they've tried to sort of reset the timeline. There are these different universes but they never really explain this. But like X-Men Days of Future Past, for example, and if you compare that, all the ages of the characters appearing in different eras and they're all different ages somehow. Like,
yeah.
How is Angel in X-Men The Last Stand in the 2000s the same age as he was in the 80s in X-Men Apocalypse? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And they've recast a bunch of characters. Like, Jubilee has made cameos multiple times, each with a different actor.
Yeah.
And this is the problem with the Fox-owned movies, is that they don't have this cohesive plan, and they really should have planned this years ago. And I can only assume that had Marvel had control of this, that maybe from the get-go they would have tried to have some semblance of consistency with the timelines.
Oh, undoubtedly. I think what they've been trying to do with the first class movies is essentially reset the timeline. So the original Bryan Singer movies never happened now. None of that has happened at all.
But Days of Future Past is a Bryan Singer film.
Yes.
And he also reset his, like, retconned his own films.
Yes. He made the original three films he made never happen.
Yeah. Well, actually, he made the first two. The third was it Brett Ratner?
Yeah. But he also retcons that one. Like, basically, yeah. The third one is what leads to the dark future.
Yeah.
That's in the future of Days of Future Past. So.
And Colossus, too, in Deadpool. Completely different actor. And he's comic book accurate, like right down to the design, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
And he has a Russian accent, and they used a different actor in the previous movies. Even in Days of Future Past, they still used, like, Cudmore had an appearance as Colossus. By the way, if you look at the designs of those two characters side by side, the version of Colossus from Bryan Singer's movies is laughable. Like, he looks so silly. The Deadpool version is spot on. Like, he has this... The Bryan Singer version, he's too shiny. Yeah. And in the Deadpool version, he's kind of has this matte metal look, even down to the rings on his metal skin. Like, they look like the comic.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where it starts to break down a little bit.
Well, Deadpool makes fun of this, of course.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the different actors that play different characters.
My guess is that Deadpool is part of the first class continuity. So the school that we're seeing is the future version of the school that is still there when Wolverine wakes up in the fixed future.
Right. Okay. Is there any reason that you think that we couldn't get the same version of Colossus that we saw in Deadpool in a Fox X-Men movie?
Well,
I can't see any reason
Fox.
Why.
It's all Fox.
It is all Fox.
Yeah.
I thought Deadpool was a Marvel property.
No, no, no.
Okay.
It's Fox.
All right. So there's no reason why they can't just make this version of Colossus the version of Colossus we always get.
Yeah. Yeah, they absolutely can do that. In fact, if they're going to be doing an X-Force movie, yeah, they totally have to.
Yeah.
And I really hope we get an X-Force movie because...
I want to see Cable.
Yeah.
Who would you cast? Do you have a dream nerd fan casting? Because I know a lot of people have their own favorites.
Yeah, I'm really not sure. Idris Elba, obviously.
It would have to be somebody that's physically imposing. Someone who's at least... Someone who's like 6'3" and big.
Yeah.
Because Cable is a big old... Like, they can't get somebody who's too old because you don't want somebody that looks frail. Oh, you know what it was? A friend of mine, I actually think this is a good idea. Henry Rollins would be perfect.
Oh.
He's got that military look. Yeah. He's got the white hair. He'd be and he's done acting.
Yeah.
I think he would actually be a good Cable.
Yeah.
They should cast him.
That could work. That could definitely work. Yeah, there are some options.
I want to talk about Apocalypse because some people are concerned about his voice. But when I saw the trailer, his voice changes a bunch of times, especially when he changes shape and changes size. And his voice goes more like how sort of I envisioned if you watched the 90s cartoon where it's kind of, he's got this scary voice.
Yeah.
But some people are like, oh, they've ruined Apocalypse. He doesn't sound the same. And I think it's because a lot of us that grew up, we have this sound in our mind of how we expect Apocalypse to sound. Just like it's hard to kind of break away from hearing the Joker with anybody else other than Mark Hamill. That is the Joker. That is Joker's voice. That's like the canonical, just as Kevin Conroy is Batman.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine? Anytime I hear somebody else voicing Batman, it's not that they do a bad job. It's just that I want to hear Kevin Conroy.
I'll be honest, though. In Arkham Origins, Nolan North did a pretty passable impression
of
the Joker. So if Mark Hamill retires from doing the Joker, Nolan North could feasibly take over, and it would sound mostly the same.
Well, he said he wasn't going to do it again, but then,
I know.
But then, of course, he's back now for the Killing Joke.
He always says that, but I don't...
He gets sucked in. He loves the character too much.
I honestly don't think he can resist it.
No, he can't.
Like,
he can't. Especially, and because he's gone on record of saying this, but the more maniacal and wacky they make him, the more he drinks it in. He loves it.
Yeah.
He's like, the more... He doesn't want to do like a subdued Joker. He likes doing the crazy cackling.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's fun to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it must be a blast. What were we talking about before?
Well, we were talking about... I brought up Apocalypse's voice.
Right. Okay.
The X-Men Apocalypse trailer. And we actually haven't talked about the X-Men Apocalypse
stuff. I think as a character, you can't have Apocalypse constantly in, I will erase all humans. Mutants shall reign supreme. Like, you can't do that voice the entire time. To have a character that's sympathetic, someone you can sort of empathize with, like... His character is, he was basically one of the first mutants ever to exist. And he was persecuted, and he decided that humans were bad and that mutants were good, and that he had to, like, he's kind of the way more fanatical version of Magneto. Like, whereas Magneto's philosophy is mutants are superior and therefore we should rule man, Apocalypse is mutants are superior and humans are awful to us, so let's kill all humans. Like, he just takes it that much further.
For
audiences to kind of empathize a little bit with him as a person, you kind of have to take a step back from that menacing voice and have him just speak as a person.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Oscar Isaac, so, like, he can
that's
really
the actor that's playing.
Yeah.
Is he, what's his ethnicity? Because Apocalypse is supposed to be Egyptian. They actually say he's Egyptian in the movie, too.
Yeah, so Oscar Isaac's Hispanic, but in the newest trailer, it looks... Because the thing about Apocalypse is, when he died, his consciousness was put into this tech sarcophagus thing.
Right, the alien technology.
He can get new host bodies. So in the trailer, it looks like Oscar Isaac is being put onto the sarcophagus and he turns blue. So it's like, this is his new host body, basically. The consciousness that was there is destroyed and replaced with Apocalypse. So his original body was Egyptian, but because he takes host forms, it can be anyone.
Yeah, and I like, there's the one aspect of the trailer, that one scene where you see him growing and like crushing Professor Xavier. That was like right out of the cartoon. He's done in the comics too, but it was just like great as a fan to be able to see like Apocalypse being able to change shape and size and stuff like that. This let me just play you a clip here, because this is just to remind you of what his voice sounded like.
Beast, how many peoples have dreamed of my end? You are no closer than the Babylonians with their swords and fire sticks.
he's very Shakespearean.
Yeah.
Very, and I'm not sure if, I think that voice prolonged through like a 2-hour movie might get a little campy.
Yeah.
It's a little too theatrical.
Yeah, which is what I'm saying. Like, to be like, okay, this is a real person that has this view about things. To really grok that, he needs to sound like a real person for most of the time. Like, he can totally go into that voice when he's pissed off, or at the end of the film, the final fight, and he's just like, "You cannot defeat me. I am like," he can totally do that, but not for the whole film, because then he's just this mustache twirling villain. He's not a person that just happens to be at odds with the protagonists.
Yeah, I agree. And in the trailer, you're right. I mean, his voice changes throughout the trailer. And I just want to play the trailer just to remind myself and you what his voice actually sounds like.
Together, we will cleanse the earth.
Everything they've built will fall! And from the ashes of that world, we'll build a
You see him changing
one.
The show, the I shot of his face.
Like this before.
He does look pretty Egyptian, actually, in that one shot. There it goes. Hey man, nice shot. Storm is amazing. This is the best version of Storm. Not only does she look more powerful, but she's got the mohawk. I love that. Did you notice Nightcrawler's costume looks more like the comic now? They got the red and the black.
Yeah.
Magneto's doing some really impressive stuff in this trailer. Just shows how powerful he is.
Well, and not just that, but
of course, Wolverine has to show up at the end.
I'm not so sure it is Wolverine, actually.
Well, who else has three claws? And it's a man's hand. But it looks like a hairy man's hand.
Could be Weapon X, though. which was a clone of Wolverine.
There was a... Okay, I had no idea about this. There was a clone?
There's also a female Wolverine.
Yeah, but that's...
But that's X-23.
Right, that's different.
Yeah, they made sort of a clone of Wolverine at one point, Weapon X. So it's possible that that's
But Weapon X was his code name for the program when he got the adamantium.
Yeah, but then when he went rogue, they decided to clone him.
Okay. And they were able to do this successfully?
Yeah.
What happened to the clone? Did Wolverine kill him?
I have no idea. Like, I'm not super familiar with X-Men. I just know that that's a character that exists.
Yeah.
So it's possible that's what this is instead.
Going back to the discussion about Apocalypse's voice, I don't have a problem with the way he sounds in that trailer.
No, exactly. It's like he sounds like a person, and then when he gets real pissed off, the robot voice comes out.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Right.
Like, that's fine to me.
Maybe, like, as his power is sort of surging.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's totally fine. Like, as a movie grounded more in reality than a cartoon show, yeah, that makes sense. That's a sensible choice to me.
Sure.
Because we all know what happens when you give a character a voice that's really hard to understand.
That's not our plan. The plan is to kill you, Batman.
Yeah, that goes so well.
You think darkness is your ally? I didn't see the light until I was a man. You merely adopted the light. I was born in it, molded by it. You have a very lovely voice. Spring of the dawn, he shall appear. See?
Yeah, so...
You know, I'm very concerned about this last Wolverine movie that Hugh Jackman is doing, because there has never been a good Wolverine movie. X-Men Origins sucked.
Yeah.
Wolverine was just god awful. Like, the second half of that movie was just terrible. Like, how they managed to royally screw up Silver Samurai as this CGI robot guy.
And that whole bullshit about how heated adamantium can cut through adamantium.
When has that been a thing?
What?
Never, never.
Yeah, that was complete bullshit.
I just want to completely forget that movie.
Yeah.
Never happened.
Yeah, it's better that we do.
So, yeah, you know, obviously there's been a lot of rumor that they're going to do the old man Logan storyline.
Yeah.
So I just hope that, you know, if this really is his last movie, just go out with a bang. Like, just make this final one a good one.
Yeah.
You know, keep the story, take the elements of the story that will make it recognizable to adapt it to a 2-hour feature film, But I think what they need to do is just make it a simple story about characters.
Mm.
You know, less CG is better.
Yeah.
I don't think they really, and especially I think with the old man Logan storyline, it is more about character.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically him like in a cabin in the woods.
Yeah,
and then he just kind of gets thrown into this whole thing again.
Yeah. I don't remember ever hearing why he wanted this to be the last movie. Is he just tired of it?
Well, I mean, he's...
Because I thought he would always just play... He would continue to play the character until somebody took the role away
from
him.
Well, I think the thing is, he's getting old, and Wolverine's supposed to be immortal, so, right. I mean...
He's not that old. He's in his mid-40s, I think?
Or
almost 50? No, I don't think he's that old.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, well, if you actually look at how he looked in X-Men 1, he was like a baby. He's like 30 years old in that movie.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hilarious. He looks so different.
Yeah. So, I mean, he kind of wants to just quit while he's on top and while he still looks somewhat like he did. Because otherwise, it'll kind of suspend disbelief.
Well, they're going to have to give him gray hair.
Yeah.
For this movie. And
they'll
actually have to give him prosthetics to make him look older. Because he is supposed to look... Actually, he's supposed to have short hair, right? Short gray hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever read The Death of Wolverine? I have not read it. I haven't read any spoilers, so I don't even know how they managed to kill him.
Yeah, I haven't read. I don't read a ton of comics. Like
the only thing I can just think of that'll kill him is that stuff. He has to somehow. You have to his mutant healing abilities have to be slowed down so much that that if he gets hurt badly enough that the healing ability cannot keep up, and then he just ends up dying from adamantium poisoning.
Yeah,
from my understanding is that the healing is what keeps him from surviving that entire process.
Yeah,
that's why all previous stems failed, because without that healing ability, just like having metal in your bones, you just have your body rejects it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I've always wondered how you could easily move around from, because in the comics they've said I read somewhere that the amount of metal that is in his body adds a considerable amount of weight. Like 100+ pounds or something of metal in his body. So how do you move?
I think he maybe has
He must strength. Have above average strength.
Yeah.
Because
in addition to his healing power, or maybe his healing power gives him like peak physical condition. Like
there has like to be
Captain
something
America
there.
Sort of thing going right. on.
Well, at least with the healing ability, it's not only like healing wounds if he gets hurt, but I would imagine it has some impact on his like on his endurance and his dexterity too, right? Because you know that
like he could run without getting tired because the healing ability right. presumably would prevent the buildup of lactic acid in
exactly,
the muscles.
Exactly.
He could probably go for longer and do more than any human could. It's tough to say. There have been a lot of comics, but they never really like go super in depth on it. It's just like you shoot him, you stab him, he gets burned, it does nothing. Like,
yeah, because even he actually the Hulk. Tore him in half one time and he still survived. He just has to crawl and find the other half of his body.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could like put him out of commission if you tore him to pieces and kept all the pieces away from each other.
Right.
Like a Horus kind of, Osiris kind of situation. Like you just cut him into pieces and put them in boxes and
or
send
if he
them
was
to the four corners.
Completely incinerated to the point where there was no tissue left, right? If it was just a skeleton, then you can't come back
from
that.
No, his healing ability extends to his skeleton, I think. Like you would literally have to obliterate every atom in his body as far as I know.
Wow.
Because if there's even one cell, it could
grow slowly, but eventually it'd come back.
Yeah. I think that's how powerful it is.
Can you imagine that man must be like how much pain like he's experienced?
I think over time he's built like a extreme.
Like every time those claws tear through the skin in his hand, like can you imagine just like that little blade slicing up his muscles every time those blades come out?
Yeah.
But he must build some kind of tolerance to pain.
Yeah. Like he
like
probably.
The healing, because if the healing works that fast, then it's like it's healing instantly as it's cutting.
Yeah.
So he does feel pain, but he must have some kind of tolerance to it.
Oh, yeah. Like, in the movies, they kind of touch on it a bit.
Yeah.
Like, I think at one point, Cyclops asks him, doesn't that hurt? He's like, only a little now, or something like that.
Right.
Like, yeah. I mean, you would eventually build a tolerance to that.
Well, why don't we wrap? We're almost at an hour.
Yeah.
There's anything else you wanted to?
No. I think that pretty much covers it.
So we have Civil War coming out, and we have X-Men Apocalypse coming out soon. I think in a couple of months?
I think it's
June? July? Anyways.
It might also be
May. We have
May.
a couple of movies coming out. So that's exciting. And then the Marvel properties on Netflix, which are, you know, it's interesting. This is something, I don't think I've brought this up, but lately movies impress me less and less. I'm more engaged with TV series. And it's interesting because if you look back 10, 15 years ago, the quality of writing and production on TV series was not nearly what it is today. They're investing more money. And actually, I really believe that things have kind of flipped around, whereas like actors always wanted to be cast in movies and they looked kind of down on TV. But now people see TV series as like, that is the thing you want to be doing. Mm. And a lot of actors that never used to do TV series are now doing TV. And I feel I'm more excited about TV in general than movies.
Yeah, I mean, we're still very much in the golden age of television. Like, the amount of quality programming we have now is just
it's astounding.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it really started with Battlestar Galactica in the earlier 2000s. As far as big budget, high quality, serialized shows. And then, of course, you have your Breaking Bad.
Mad Men,
The Walking Dead on AMC. What else do you have?
Game of Thrones, Better Call Saul.
Yeah, Better Call Saul. A bunch of other shows. There's Empire Boardwalk, which I haven't seen, but I hear it's really high quality. And True Detective, I haven't seen that, but that's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah,
some people don't like, I think, was it season two?
Season two really lets things down, yeah. If you're going to see it, just see season one.
Right.
I mean, each season is a
Gotham,
totally new story.
I'm really enjoying Gotham, actually. I did not expect to like that.
Yeah, Gotham's a bit of an odd duck. Like, the liberties with continuity they're taking... I'm of the opinion that it's like a prequel to the Snyder Murderverse.
Oh, is that what people are calling it?
Yeah, the Murderverse.
A lot of explosions and a lot of killing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there's I kind of feel like Gotham is the prequel because there's no way in the Gotham universe that Bruce Wayne doesn't turn into a murderer. Like, just based on the things that have happened already on that show, like, there's no way he turns into a Batman that just beats people up. No way. Like, the kid is just too angry and too messed up.
You really see that point. You really see that anger, like, just kind of bubbling.
Yeah.
To this, like, he's just going to explode.
Yeah.
And he's very dark for a kid. It's like, this kid needs some counseling.
Yeah.
Like, he really needs to see a psychiatrist. You know, what's really interesting, this is what I love the dynamic between Alfred and Bruce, and the casting is brilliant. I mean, the acting is top notch.
Yeah.
And I think the writing is really well done because you can see, and it's not always when Alfred says something, but you can see in his eyes that he can tell that, like, he's really concerned that this kid is slipping, that this kid that he's disturbed.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I think it's very far from the traditional Batman continuity. So it only really makes sense as a prequel to the movies that are happening right now. So like this Bruce turns into the murderous Batman.
Yeah.
That enjoys burning his symbol into criminals and so on.
That the branding doesn't bother me. Flat out killing, that does bother me.
Yeah, but it's like...
But I mean, one could argue too that, Batman, they say Batman never kills, but yeah, maybe not directly, but indirectly, I mean...
Oh yeah,
With the amount of like internal injuries that somebody could get from an encounter with him, I mean, somebody could, if they didn't get hospitalized, they could potentially just die if they were left there, right? Like, internal bleeding. Like, actually, you know what is a great example? What happens to, I think it's Maroni in The Dark Knight, where he drops them off of, Maroni's like, you can't kill me. He's like, no, I can't kill you, but I can hurt you really badly. And then just let's go. And he falls a couple story and breaks his legs.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty badass.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, short of shooting somebody in the face, even in the Chris Nolan verse, he's pretty hard on criminals.
Yeah, he is.
Where is he? Where are the drugs?
Yeah. But he did have a limit. Like, he, there was a line he wouldn't cross.
Well, with Catwoman in the third movie,
yeah,
you know, he stops her. He's like, no, we don't use guns.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that was Batman.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I would love to see, just to kind of put a cap on this episode, we still haven't seen in an origin story what we originally are used to from the comics, whereas, like, I want to see Batman at Wayne Manor sitting in a chair, and then suddenly a bat comes crashing through a window, and he's like, yes, it's an omen. I shall become the knight. You know, we haven't really seen that.
I like the way that Christopher Nolan handled it, like that childhood accident where he fell into the well and got attacked by bats, like that.
Can you pull that mic a little closer?
Like the way the bats constantly like haunted his dreams and stuff. Like that was a really cool tie-in, because then you had the whole League of Shadows thing, like become what your enemies fear the most. And he's like, and then that whole thing where he's like, it's time my enemies shared my dread. So he's like, I'm scared of bats, so I'll make everybody else scared of bats. Like that was cool. That was a really neat thematic element. Like I would almost want to make that canon. It was so good. Like that to me is a far more psychologically viable thing than a bat randomly crashes through the window and he's like, I think I'll become a bat superhero. Yeah.
It's definitely more realistic. I mean, it falls in line with Christopher Nolan's whole plan with that character. That let's try to ground this character. Like, how far can we sort of deviate from the comics to make it still recognizable as Batman, but let's tweak a few things to kind of make it not silly.
Yeah. Yeah, and for the most part, I think it worked. Yeah. So much so that, I think some elements do make sense for the comic book continuity. Like the whole thing with the bats, totally perfect. You could drop that in and it would make sense.
Now I want to watch Batman Begins again.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in a while.
He drives stick. Actually, that line I did not like. Yeah. And also, I didn't like the line where Commissioner Gordon drives the Batmobile and he's like, I gotta get me one of these. That was just cringeworthy.
Yeah. Could've done with that. There were some misses.
Yeah. You've been listening to The Impromptu on Hologram Radio. I am here with Michael Norton as always. And dear listeners, we really need your support. You can donate to our show and the network at large if you enjoy what you're hearing. And the best way to do that is to go to patreon.com/hologramradio and become a regular donator. You can also go to hologramradio.org/sponsors and shop at Amazon. I know Michael shops at Amazon. I wonder how big his wish list is. Anyway, so you can shop at Amazon. No additional work needed on your part. Just click on one of those banner links that we've set up for you. We've got Amazon UK, USA, and Canada. And every time you buy something, we get a portion of the sale, which helps us out immensely. So please do that. You can subscribe to the show in iTunes to ensure you get every new episode each and every week. And if you're in iTunes, why not drop us a rating or comment, which helps other people find the show. And if you leave a rating in iTunes, we will give you a shout out on a future episode. You can follow the show on Twitter. We're at The Impromptu. Michael Norton is at Zen Impulse. I'm Alex Knight at Zero Distraction. And Hologram Radio shows on Instagram, Hologram Radio on Facebook. We're pretty much everywhere. And if you'd like to send us feedback the old-fashioned way, send us an email to theimpromptu@hologramradio.org.
And on that note, thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.